The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
We find ourselves close to the halfway point between the spring holy day season and the fall holy day season. I point this out because it is generally considered that it is these two seasons of the year, during these two times of the year, when real spiritual growth is done. After all, there is an outward approach of a great deal more and more focus at that particular time upon God and His way of life during these particular times. And so a question that I would ask each one of us is, are you a holy day season growth type of person? Brethren, what about growth during this time? What about growth during this time between the spring and the fall holy day growth seasons? What about growth all year long? What about growing spiritually now? We focus a lot more on it in our sermons, there's a lot more Bible studies, there's a lot more of those things going on in those times of the year. And we know that and we understand it. And I think most of us also dig in and we spend more time on those topics. And so again, I just simply ask the question, what about now? Because brethren, here's the point. We need to be growing spiritually all year long. And the reason is because there is a real enemy out there who does not want us to grow spiritually, does not want us to draw close to God, does not want us to live this way of life, does not want us to be in the kingdom of God, and he wants us to stagnate. And the point being is we cannot allow our spiritual growth condition to remain static. Because all too often what happens is we either reach a certain spiritual plateau and then we stay there, we're either growing spiritually or we're simply retrogressing. Because we can't stand still. We can't be static. There has to be growth for us to be growing spiritually. With that in mind, I want you to go with me to the book of Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Let's go to verse 15 and 16. Verse 15, it says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. I wish you were one or the other. This is God saying. Verse 16, so then because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Here's the point. Somebody is lukewarm. Somebody is stagnant. Somebody is not spiritually growing. And unless we constantly are bringing our thoughts, constantly bringing our attitudes and our spirit and our human nature into control by putting on the yoke of Jesus Christ, what is going to typically happen is our human nature will pull us down spiritually. And we will do just that. We will stagnate. I'd like for us to take a look at several passages right now, several scriptures, seeing some of these statements, some of these actual things that I've just stated into account. We're going to read several verses, but that's okay. The first one we're going to look at is 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now, do we want to focus on that and do that just at the time of the spring holy days and the fall holy days? Or do we need to be doing that every day? The answer is, obviously, we need to be doing this every day. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Proverbs 16 and verse 32. Proverbs 16:32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that rules his spirit, is implied, is better than he that takes a city. You know, we study in history people who are great conquerors and who have gone in and have done these incredible things, and they put this kingdom down and they took over the enemy and they freed the people and all of that. Wonderful things. Wonderful things. But it says that he that rules over his spirit is better than he that takes a city. Proverbs 25 and verse 28. He that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. What a comparison. Let's move to the New Testament. This one is in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 29. Matthew 11 and verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Jesus Christ, obviously the speaker here. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Verse 30. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So we're without excuse, you know, in that sense that his ways are not hard ways. His ways are easier than trying to live apart from God's way of life. Are we going to have problems living this way of life in this life? Yeah, because we're still in the human body. We still have human nature. But we're going to see, and as we already actually know and understand, this sermon today is more of a review for most of us, and that's okay. Because my focus is on growing at all times, not just during those two times. Let's go to Romans chapter 7 in this series of verses that we're looking at, seeing these statements. Romans 7 and verse 23. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my body. That's the easiest way. That's the easier way to live. You know, we're needing to be bringing into captivity this law of sin. But the way that is easier for us to do is not to do these things. So we have to focus on these things. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying here, that he was focusing himself. He was really getting into it himself and seeing that what he would rather be doing is doing this. What his mind would do, his human nature would cause him to do, would be to sin against God. But what he really wanted to do was not. And we have to set that in order in our own minds as well. So in order to be growing spiritually, our success as true believers depends on the very purpose of our existence. And we know that. We know what our existence is for. That is to develop godly nature so that we will someday be born into the family of God. And then continuously developing this godly nature is an important key to real spiritual growth. So today I'd like for us to take a look at some things about this important key in our life as a true believer of how to grow spiritually at all times, not just when we focus so much attention at the two beginning and the end of the holy day season. We're in between. We're roughly right between those two times right now. And we want us to focus on growing now as well. One very important aspect of godly nature is true humility. Many fail to grow because they have not learned the lesson of true humility. Their approach in their spiritual lives is that of what I would call the natural human approach. Now, I don't know about you, but I know that I find myself there way too often, much more than I want to be there. And so I'm speaking to myself, and I hopefully we're probably speaking to most of us. Humility is a matter of a person's attitude. Two very important points to understand about this. Number one is, it is our attitude toward God. And number two is our attitude toward self. Go with me to Colossians 3 and verse 12. Colossians 3 and verse 12. We see a very important verse. If you don't have this verse committed to memory, I would recommend that you do so. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. Let's pause right there. Put it on. That's something that we are actively involved in doing. You put it on as the elect of God, holy and beloved, because that's the way God looks at us. Put on vows of mercies, kindness, get this, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, and I'm stopped. Because this is the point that I want to see here in this verse. humbleness of mind. We are instructed to put it on. So we are instructed that we are to have this humbleness of mind. Or as the Amplified New Testament puts it, it says, we are to put on a lowly opinion of yourselves. Philippians 2 and verse 3. Philippians 2 and verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, or in this humbleness of mind. It's the same type of attitude that is here. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Let me ask each one of this question. What if every true believer truly did this? I mean, just think about it. What if every true believer really did esteem others better than themselves? I mean, that's what we're instructed to do. So it's not like this is a foreign concept that, you know, that I'm introducing here. This is what we're instructed to do. We are to have humbleness of mind. We are to be lowliness. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. What if we actually did that? We would experience some real spiritual growth. Because this is a godly principle. This is something that we need to understand. We should be able to see our own sins and our own faults much more clearly than we see the faults and problems with other people. But that's not what we tend to focus on, is it? We tend to focus on others. We get in situations, and what is one of the first things as humans that we tend to do? We blame the other person. We're not focusing. This is not a humbleness of mind. This is not this attitude, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than self. And if we did this, if we really did this, we would truly experience some real spiritual growth. We would be able to see, let me rephrase this, I would be able to see my faults and my weaknesses much more clearly than I would be looking at someone else's. And if you put your name there, you would be doing the same thing. When we actually would do this, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Our opinion, our attitudes of ourselves is lowered. Now, I'm focusing on it this way because, and I know some of us could just very quickly jump in the wrong ditch, and I understand that too. But I'm looking at this from the human point of view. I'm not looking at it from this godly point of view. Yet, I'm looking at it as just being humans. We tend to puff ourselves up because this kind of attitude in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves, this type of attitude, where does it begin? It begins on our knees before God. It begins with our opinion of ourselves. We see God and we see self, and where are we? What we tend to do is to see self and to see somebody else, and we make a comparison and we tend to elevate ourselves. And that's not what the godly principle is. Go with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. Romans 12 and verse 3. For I see through the grace given unto me. Any of us had grace given unto us? Of course we have. To every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Now, are we people who can accomplish things? Yes. Shouldn't we be thinking highly of ourselves? No. This is a comparison with us and God. This is a comparison with us and Jesus Christ. It's what he is saying here. Think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly or in a wise manner, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Children, and I'm using this because all of us would certainly know that we've heard these kinds of things. We see it on television. We even see it on news programs, which is ludicrous to think about it in this way, but we do. children are being told in our society today, and have been for a while, and it doesn't seem to be easing up when more and more people are coming to the realization this is not a really healthy thing to be doing, but people are doing it anyway, where people are being told, you can become anything you desire. And I'm going to make a comment real simple. That's a lie. That is an absolute lie. Children cannot become anything they want to become. Not everyone who desires to be a pro athlete is ever going to be a pro player. There's so many things, whether it be for baseball, basketball, a football player, whatever. I mean, you have to have things like skill and talent and size and be at the right place at the right time. But if you desire this and you work hard, you can. This can happen in your life. No, it won't. Just as an illustration, every year, there's what they call, I'm just dealing with football here. Now, maybe I should pick something else, but it makes a bigger point. There are more players on a football team in college than there are on a baseball team, so I'm simply dealing with it from numbers. This is why I'm dealing with football. Many, if not most, of these college graduates would want to be a professional football player. Not all, but many of them would. Of all the college where there are football teams across this country, there are literally tens of thousands. There's a handful of people that are selected every year. And these tens of thousands are desiring it. And they started out like in 6 and 7 and 8 year olds when they started playing peewee football all the way up and being told, if you really be good, you can be a professional football player. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's like I said, there has to be talent and skills and size. And I mean, there are things that people don't even take into consideration. There are people who would never be a professional football player because their feet are too small. Because they cannot stand up under the attacks. You have to have bigger feet than the average person. That's something they don't talk about. I'm just saying, but they desire to be it, they do all of these things. No, you can't. Or they say, if you want to, you can become president. No, they can't. No, they can't. You have to have way above average intelligence. And then all kinds of other things that are on your side. That the average child, that the above average child, that the gifted child is not going to have. So we are doing our whole society growing up a very big disservice because we're causing them to think higher than themselves than they ought to think. When in reality, what they're trying to get them to think and desire is not going to happen anyway. We need to see ourselves as we really are. And that's how God sees us. Let's go to Psalm 39 in verse 4. Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Now, this is coming from a man who was king. Verse 5, behold, you have made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before you. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Selah. Think on this. A question that I'd like for us to ask ourselves is, and for us to think about just a moment, do we consider our best human state as being altogether vanity? Probably not. What we tend to do humanly is to minimize our own faults and our own weaknesses, and we tend to exaggerate our strengths. There needs to be a balance of having true humility without going to the other extreme and depreciating ourselves either, of having an attitude, woe is me, I'm not worthy of anything. That's not right either. And so what we tend to do as humans is we either greatly exalt ourselves and exaggerate our strengths, or we take it to the other thing as I can't do anything, and we need to consider that. Another thing that I'd like for us to focus on and for us to realize is that all the men and women of God were humble. What I want us to focus on just for a moment is I'd like for us to listen to some of their statements from their own words, and I'm just going to give you some. Jacob said, I am not worthy. This is in Genesis chapter 32 and verse 10. We look at it, and Jacob is the being who became Israel, who became the father of the 12 tribes, who are the people of God, but I'm not worthy. He understood that he was not worthy, but he understood what God was using him anyway. The second one I have is David asked the question in 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 18, where he says, who am I? You know, who am I? Paul the apostle considered himself, he said, I am less than the least of the saints. In Ephesians 3 and verse 8, and then in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 9 and 10, he says, I am not fit to be called an apostle. Yet I would dare say we probably, other than Jesus Christ, we learn more of the godly way of life through the Apostle Paul than any other single individual in the pages of the Bible, as far as New Testament is concerned, talking about. And yet he says, comparing myself to all the saints, I'm the least. And I'm not even sure that I would fit to be called an apostle, yet he was. And then I have one more, and the saying is, I can't of my own self do nothing. That was in John 5, verse 19, and the same thing is repeated, the principle is in verse 19. And you know who said that? Jesus Christ. How much less can we do of ourselves? Or how much more reason to be humble do you think that we have? Go with me to Matthew chapter 15, Matthew 15. Matthew 15 and verse 22, Matthew 15 verse 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto Jesus, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, you son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a demon. Now, this is a horrible situation for any parent to find herself in, that her child is being vexed, bothered by a demon. And she understood that this is what was happening. Verse 23, but he, Jesus, answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. She's bothering us. Send her away. Verse 24, but Jesus answered and said, I am not sent but into the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Verse 25, then came she and worshipped Jesus, saying, Lord, help me. You know I'm going to ask you to do something in a few moments, don't you? You know I'm going to ask you to put yourself in this woman's place, because that's what we're going to do. Verse 26, but Jesus answered and said, it is not meet or is not right to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, truth, Lord. That's right. What you're saying is truth. However, the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And Jesus, in verse 28, answered and said unto him, O woman, great is your faith, be it unto you even as you will. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now we're going to put ourselves in, we're going to do a little role playing here. We're going to notice some of the things that took place here in these limited number of verses. But it's an awesome story to think about. First, we notice this woman's attitude of complete humility. So I want each one of us to ask ourselves the question, what if I were in this situation and had been first ignored and then answered the way that Jesus answered her? 23, but he answered not a word, and his disciples came and beseeched him, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. 24, and he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Verse 26, and he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread but and to cast it into dogs, before the dogs. You ever been called a dog? And if you understand all the connotations. Now, each one of us asks the question, would my reaction show the same attitude of real humility that this woman showed? Verse 27, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Is that the attitude that we have had, that we would have had? Or would our attitude have been a false concept of who we are, of our self-importance? Who does he think he is? Doesn't he know who I am? I'm somebody important. Go with me to Luke 14. Luke 14 in verse 11. For whosoever exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. If you don't have this verse committed to memory, we probably need to do so. Brother, we need to understand, we need to realize, we may not necessarily be exalted in this life. It doesn't make any difference a lot of what we may accomplish. You know, I've become this. You know, I'm a deacon in the church. I'm a elder in the church. I'm the pastor in the church. I've done these things, and I've done these things, and I've done all these other things. But we need to understand, we may not necessarily be exalted in this life. We will be exalted when we are following the ways of life of God, and we have internalized this. We will be exalted when we receive the reward that Jesus Christ brings with him. Let's go to Revelation 22 and verse 12. Revelation 22 and verse 12. For behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. Now, do you want it now, or do we want it then? If it comes down to an either or, do we want it now, or do we want it then? We want it when Jesus Christ gives it to us. And he says, and he's bringing it with him, there may not be any kind of exhortation now. I have two very important bullets of living principles for us to think about. Bullet number one is, if we seek to exalt ourselves, we will be abased. And the second bullet is, if we seek the development of real true humility as a part of our spiritual nature, we will grow and become a more effective believer. So I think that we come to understand, we don't do all of this on our own. There is no way. We do have a part. We do have a part. And I'm focusing here in this sermon more on our part than on the huge part, the gigantic, very important part of Jesus Christ in our lives. I mean, after all, Jesus Christ living his life in us through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that is the huge, gigantic, most important part. And I'm focusing on this real tiny part that we have. But our very tiny part, if it's ignored, there is no spiritual growth. Even though way the majority, the biggest part of it all comes from Jesus Christ in us. And I think that we see that, and we need to understand it like that. But I am saying we do have a part. And as is the case in all areas of our lives, we absolutely have to look to God for his huge help. We have to look to God. We have to look to God. If we put our trust in self, if we put our trust in our own abilities and what we can do, we are going to absolutely, utterly fail. Jeremiah 17:5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusts in man, whether it be somebody else or whether it be in self. Cursed be the man that trusts in man and makes flesh his arm and whose heart departs from the Lord. In other words, if we are trying to accomplish things through us, through our own abilities, we're going to fall down, we're going to fall down, we're going to fall down. Then on the other hand, as we trust God and put our trust and our faith and reliance upon Him, doing the things in the way that He wants us to do, then our efforts will be blessed. Jeremiah 17:7. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Okay, we're kind of moving on because I have another important basic principle that we also need to learn and put into practice in order for us to grow spiritually at all times. We are to stay close to God. Now, that sounds really simple, doesn't it? It almost sounds trite just to state it that way. But brother, when you back up and you really look at it, we need to stay close to God. That is an incredible, powerful statement. We are told in Scripture to put Him first in our lives. We need to really, truly be living what is found in Matthew 6:33. Seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And the second part of that verse says, and all these other things are going to be added unto you. And sometimes what we want is all these other things to be added unto us, but we're trying to do it through our own way, and they don't happen. We go, well, I don't understand. You know, I'm part of the church. I keep the Sabbath. I do these things. But we're putting our trust in self and not putting our trust in God. And therefore, we're not staying close to God. And there's also this lack of real humility because we understand where we are to where, compared to where God is. So we obviously need to be praying for His help in overcoming our problems. And then we work on them with a positive approach, expecting and depending on answers to come. And sometimes we fall short of that because that's not what we do. John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches, and he that abides in me, New International Version says, he that remains in me, and I in him, the same, brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. It's pretty straightforward. We got all these talents and all these abilities, and we can memorize verses, and we can quote them back, and we can do all of these things. Does nothing. Means nothing. If we don't have this principle down of staying close to God, seeking God first. We need to recognize that we can do nothing while apart from God. And then on the other hand, in Philippians 4:13, it says what? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There are the both sides. We have a part. Tiny, but it's a part, and it's an important part, where God, in overall, here's the whole work that needs to be accomplished for us to grow. Our part may be very, very tiny, and God just all of this other space, but if we don't do our space, what happens to all this other? Nothing. Because if we're not seeking God first, if we're not staying close to God, none of this other is going to take place. So we need to stay close to God. That's the point that I'm making here. I want you to go with me now. Turn to a very familiar scripture, but I want to look at it in this context. Let's go to the book of Zechariah. Zechariah 4:6. Then he answered and spoke unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And here from the Old Testament, we see exactly the same principle. It's just stated in another way. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. That's how we're capable of doing all things through Christ who strengthens me. And it starts by us staying close, getting close to God and staying close to God. Not just that these two growth spirits, typically speaking within the church of God in the spring holy day season and a fall holy day season, but every day. But every day. And so we see it's very plain here that it is not by our own physical abilities, but by God's Spirit that we grow and become more effective and productive as believers and being useful to God the Father and Jesus Christ. Now, do you ever think about yourself as being useful to God the Father and Jesus Christ? You need to. There's a lot of different points that would fit into this, but the two points of the sermon today, true humility has to be there, and the second one, not necessarily has to be the second one, but the other one is staying close to God. And that Spirit that he says is nor by might, but by my Spirit, that Spirit and the help that it can give to us is available by seeking it, by asking for it. If we approach him with this attitude of true humility, and we approach him from the point of view of seeking you first the kingdom of God, seeking God first and his righteousness. Luke chapter 11 and verse 9. Luke 11 and verse 9. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives. Do we believe this? Do we believe these verses are true? If there's true humility, we see ourselves in the comparison to God and where we are, and yes, we have abilities, natural innate abilities that God has blessed us with, and we can accomplish things, but we know where it all comes from. And then we're staying close to God. We're seeking God first in his righteousness. And when we do this, and then it says, for everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. And again, I ask, do we believe these verses? Do we believe these words? Do we live our lives with the fact that this is a true statement? Or are they just interesting verses in the Bible? Let's go on, verse 11. And he shows us here, he says, if a son shall ask bread of any of you as a father, will he give him, will the father give the son a stone? Or if the son asks for a fish, will the father for a fish give his son a serpent? Sometimes we have to read in the pronouns here so we actually follow it and understand the he's and the hims and all of that. Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then being evil, this is a comparison. This is a comparison statement is what he is doing here. Know how to give good gifts unto your children. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Because we're having the true humility, and because we're seeking God first, and we're asking him. I'd like for us to really remember these important living principles in seeking real spiritual growth. Also, let's not be among those who grow spiritually only at the spring or the fall holy day seasons, but all year long. Now, you may look at this and you go, I don't understand why he's doing it. Because I'm telling you, way the majority of the people in the church of God, that's where they put their emphasis. They don't do it every day, day in, day out. They don't do that. They spend so much time in those two times of the year really trying to focus on God because they're so involved in so many other things during the summer months that we're now into. Or during the winter months, whenever it's between, whenever it's after the fall holy days, and then moving on to the spring holy days looking forward to. we kind of hunker down. We're either out and about in activities and going and seeing and doing and traveling and all of that in the summertime. Typically, this is what a lot of people do. Or in the summertime, we hunker down because it's cold or wet or whatever the case may be, and we still don't focus on God. We just tend to do it on those times. And I'm telling you, this is what is typical within the church of God. And we need not do that. We cannot do that. So let me give you what I would consider some interesting points to ponder. These are some of the salas. You know, think about these to be growing spiritually now. Number one, spend more time in prayer than you typically do it even at other times. I mean, after all, you go, well, I don't have time, you know. Well, I got all these things. Let me clue you in. The TVs are rerun programs. We've seen them all before. So spend those time in prayer. A number two one is more personal Bible study. Number three goes along with number two, and that is to really dig in into that Bible question or that topic that you have been wondering about. Spend the time and really looking into. I mean, here's the point that I'm making in this one. In the spring of the year, we tend to focus on examining ourselves, rightly so. And we're looking to Passover and coming and being led out of sin to the days of unleavened bread. And then we're counting to Pentecost. And then by the time we get to Pentecost, and then summer's right around the corner, and we go, whew, yeah, okay, oh, this is good. The counting is over, the holy day is passed, and we're excited. And then we start looking to the fall, to the holy days that occur there. The Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, not so much, but the Feast of Atonement and the Feast of Tabernacles and the Last Great Day. I mean, right? Am I not right? So what do we focus on during the time between them? This is the time whenever you dig into that Bible question you've had or that topic that you've wanting really been able to dig into, you've got it. We're not having to, in that sense, in our minds, have to focus on examining ourselves so much or looking to the feast and the kingdom of God. We can dig into personal prayer and Bible study more and more than we've been wanting to dig into. This is the time to do it. Number four, we're going to be outdoors more, typically speaking. Therefore, for really take in the wonders of God. Take in and really think about his genius, how awesome he is, how incredible this mind of God really is, and meditate on these wonders of God. I mean, when we're closed in during the winter months, and I know we're not so much here as it is in so many other places in the country, and more people are going to hear that than people just here. But I still understand that we kind of hunker down more in the winter months and we're not really out so much and really looking at nature and the creation and those kinds of things. But now we can. Get out there among them. Get out there in it. You're going to, typically, people are going to be doing more travel. They're going to be doing more things. Stop and smell the roses and think about the intricacies that God created this. And all that his genius and all that he's done, meditate on them. And number five, you can come up with more on your own. I know you can. Look for ways to spend more time with God now, to be spiritually growing now, not just on those two times when we typically spend most of the time in our spiritual growth. Do it now also. So I'd like for us to think about it and to use these points and become what I would want to call a year-round, continual, spiritually growing believer. And another thing to really think about and to remember, because I focused on it very, very simply, but it is there, and that is that the help we need is available to us now also. It's not just there during the fall and the spring holidays. It's there all the time. We go and we ask, and so let's use it and let's grow spiritually all year long, even now. And the ironic blessing. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. So God bless you all.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.